Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry. I use the pronouns she and her, and you are welcome here. No matter who you are or who you love, you are welcome here if you are so done with the pandemic, you can barely speak of it, but you rarely smile anymore. And you are welcome here if you are doing just fine. You are welcome if the annual celebration of MLK Jr. inspires you. You are welcome if the celebration just reminds you of all the work to end racism that still has to be done. You are welcome if part of your life is devoted to making the world a more loving and sustainable place. You are welcome if you would just like the world to become a more loving and sustainable place. I would like to invite everyone to coffee hour at 11:30. It is a lively conversation with fun people about, we share our joys and sorrows. We talk about themes in the service and just chat about what's going on in our lives. And it's a lovely way to connect during these times when we cannot see each other. And if you haven't heard, all church activities are virtual now. It was great to see everyone in person, however briefly. And as soon as this surge is over, we will do it again. I will now light the chalice. This is a chalice of hope. This is a chalice of hope. It shines light on our shared values, signaling our intention to move boldly toward our highest ideals. Let us say our affirmation together. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another.
Our first reading today is from author and philanthropist Neil Gaiman. I hope that in this year, you make mistakes. Because if you're making mistakes, then you're making new things. You're trying new things. You're learning, living, pushing yourself, changing your world. You're doing things you've never done before, and more importantly, you're doing something. So that's my wish for you, and for all of us, and my wish for myself. Make new mistakes. Make glorious, amazing mistakes. Make mistakes that nobody's ever made before. Don't freeze. Don't stop. Don't worry that it isn't good enough or it isn't perfect, whatever it is. Art, or love, or work, or family, or life. Whatever it is you're scared of doing, do it. Make your mistakes. Next year, this year, forever.
Hi, friends. I'm so happy to be with you today as we celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. and his legacy. Today, I want to share with you a book that was lovingly donated to the Woof Library by Salima. Thank you so much, Salima. And as we listen to this book, you might be getting a preview if you know what the back of it looks like. As we listen to this book, which is all about change and commitment to community, I want you to think about the ways in which you can change this world that we live in together. How we honor Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is by living lives that search for more justice, that work for more hope, that grow our community towards the beloved community. This is Change Sings, a children's anthem by U.S. Youth Poet Laureate Amanda Gorman, with pictures by Lauren Wong. I can hear change humming in its loudest, proudest song. I don't fear change coming, and so I sing along. I scream with the skies of red and blue streamers. I dream with the cries of tried and true dreamers. I chant, I'm a chant that rises and rings. There is hope where my change sings. Though some don't understand it, those windmills of mysteries, I sing with the planet and its hills of histories. I hum with 100 hearts, each of us lending a hand. I use my strengths and my smarts, take a knee to make a stand. I'm bright as the light each day brings. There is love where my change sings. I show others tolerance, though it might take some courage. I don't make a taller fence, but fight to build a better bridge. I talk not only of distances, from where and how we came. I also walk our differences to show we are the same. I'm a movement that roars and springs. There's a wave where my change sings. Change sings where? There, inside me, because I'm the change I want to see. As I grow, it grows like seeds. I'm just what the world needs. I'm the voice where freedom rings. You're the love your bright heart brings. We are the wave starting to spring, for we are the change that we sing. We're what the world is becoming, and we know it won't be long. We all hear change strumming. Won't you sing along? Where does your change sing? What makes your heart soar? What change do you want to see in the world?
Now is time for prayer or meditation or reflection, as is your tradition. Today, let us remember all that we are grateful for. Let us be grateful for the air that we breathe, the ground that we walk on, the water we drink, and the sun that keeps us warm. Let us be grateful for food, shelter, and clothing, for children and family and friends, for laughter and joy and bright colors, for dogs and cats and crows and squirrels and elephants, for green plants and rain, for good stories that pull us in and fill us up, for moments of creativity and inspiration, and all the amazing things that human beings have ever created. Let us be grateful for Martin Luther King Jr. and all those who worked tirelessly with him to show us that laws and hearts can be changed, that new paths can be forged, and new ways of life lived. Let us be grateful for all who have taken up the work of civil rights, working tirelessly to continue to break the hard shell of systemic racism and white supremacy that keeps us all trapped in hierarchies of human worthiness that destroy love and justice. Let us be grateful for all people who dream a dream of a better world and work to keep the possibilities open for a loving, sustainable future. And let us be profoundly grateful for the earth that makes our lives and everything we experience possible. Let us be profoundly grateful for the mystery that draws us towards love and justice and creative possibilities. Let us be every day so grateful.
Our second reading today comes from authors and activists for positive change, Joanna Macy and Chris Johnstone, from their book, Active Hope. Active hope is about becoming active participants in bringing about what we hope for. Active hope is a practice, like Tai Chi or gardening. It's something we do rather than have. It's a process we can apply to any situation, and it involves three key steps. First, we take in a clear view of reality. Second, we identify what we hope for in terms of the direction we would like things to move in or the values we'd like to see expressed. And third, we take steps to move ourselves or our situation in that direction. Since active hope doesn't require our optimism, we can apply it even in areas where we feel hopeless. The guiding impetus is intention. We choose what we aim to bring about, act for, express, rather than weighing our chances and proceeding only when we feel hopeful. We focus on our intention and let it be our guide.
I see you, I hear you, I feel you. And though I can't claim to understand, I can stand still and reach out my hand and try to feel you.
Thank you.
Sometimes it is so easy to feel hopeless about the world that we live in. I mean, things that should be really simple to get through Congress because the majority of Americans want them, like expanded home health care for seniors and those with disabilities, federal negotiation of prescription drug prices, and expanded child credits for families just can't get passed. Making the real progress we need to stop world temperatures from rising further, ending systemic racism, protecting voting and elections, and ensuring abortion rights seem even further away. How can our hearts not be breaking? In the richest country in the world, people are hungry, living in tents on the side of city streets, and have no access to health care during a pandemic or ever. We say we are the country of the free, but the police brutalize the innocent, keeping racial hierarchies intact through fear of violence. Climate disasters are now just what happens. Our society has made choices that creates all this suffering. It is unnecessary. And multiply this across the world, including the 9 million people every year who die of hunger. And while this is significantly more than have died of COVID in each of the past 2 years, it is not hot headline news this year or ever. What can we do about these challenges? All the issues facing humans and other species are exceptionally complicated and endless after all. Money and power are often aligned with unkind and ungenerous positions that declare some are more worthy and deserving of the Earth's abundance, and others are not. Their power seems immovable. So what do we do when we're faced with the pain of the world? There are so many ways to protect ourselves. We can rage and become bitter, distancing ourselves from our pain through anger and sarcasm. We can retreat by crawling into our homes and concerns, ignoring information that interferes with happiness, and just pretend it's all not happening. We can become paralyzed by anxiety and fear, or become apathetic, unaroused by the plights of others and the future. We can say it's not our problem, or there's nothing we can do. Or maybe we become brightly optimistic. Surely something positive will happen. A superhero like Martin Luther King Jr. will fly in and take the reins of leadership and steer things in a positive direction. And we will vote for them or send them money or cheer from the sidelines. Or perhaps we have faith that technology and science will save us from a warmer future. We are human. Surely we will adapt and better energy sources and environmental friendly consumer goods will show up. Maybe the findings of social science will get us out of the scourges of poverty and racism. We celebrate and remember this weekend Martin Luther King Jr. He once said, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." He also said, "We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope." But how do we hope when the disappointment is so clearly before us? I have found hope in the book Act of Hope, written about 10 years ago by Joanna Macy and Chris Johnstone. Macy is a longtime environmental activist and a scholar of Buddhism, general systems theory, and deep ecology. Johnstone is a specialist in the psychology of resilience, happiness, and positive change. Our congregation is going to read and explore this book on February beginning on February 1st for 5 weeks. I strongly recommend it to any person whose heart breaks at the state of the world and just doesn't know what to do. Johnstone and Macy say to create hope, we have to start with the grief. We have to begin with our broken hearts. We need to feel. We need to cry or rage our anger, fear, despair, frustration, whatever it is. This can feel overwhelming, or perhaps at first even impossible, if we've crawled deeply into denial and apathy. But to hold on to the grief, through denial or other distancing strategies, and to pretend that all that matters is our private lives, takes a great deal of energy, because it isn't true. We grieve the world and the plights of others because we are interconnected beings with all of life. We feel empathy, concern, and worry because we are experiencing the pain of the interconnected self. What hurts you hurts me. That is the way we were created. When the pain flows freely through us and doesn't stay stuck, we have much more energy to be creative and engaged with the world that is and what we want it to become. So what is active hope? Active hope is based on the premise that when we are building the world we want to live with, even in very small ways, in very small actions and projects, we create hope for ourselves and others. Active hope, say Macy and Johnstone, is a practice. Like Tai Chi or gardening, it is something we do rather than have. It is a process we can apply to any situation, and it involves three key steps. First, we take a clear view of reality. Second, we identify what we hope for in terms of the direction we'd like things to move in or the values that we'd like to have expressed. And third, we take steps to move ourselves or our situation in that direction. Active hope is an act of intention. We live into our intention for the world. We start by taking a clear view of reality. For most of us, a clear view of reality will probably include, among other, probably positive things, grief and pain. But this is not all bad. When you experience pain for something beyond your immediate self-interest, say Macy and Johnstone, this reveals your caring, compassion, and connection, such precious things. By honoring your pain for the world in whatever form it takes, you take it seriously and allow the signal to rouse you. Our pain for the world, just like the pain when we cut ourselves, is a signal that something is wrong and we must deal with it. The second step of active hope is to identify the direction we would like things to move toward. The authors call this having a dream. The authors call this catching a vision. Martin Luther King Jr. called it having a dream. Instead of attacking the things we despise, we focus on the world we want. Martin Luther King Jr. wanted a country where his children would one day live in a nation where they would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Perhaps for us, this is the world where no one is considered dangerous by the police because of the color of their skin. Perhaps it is a world where every person has food, shelter, and health care. Perhaps it is a world run on renewable energy and not on fossil fuel. The third step of active hope is to figure out a way we can take steps that will create this world. But when you say that, just figure out the steps to create this world, It sounds pretty overwhelming. Like, oh yeah, in between the other things I do, I'm just going to come up with a plan to stop world hunger, or end the racial caste system, or create fair elections. However, Macy and Johnstone offer an entirely different way of thinking about what we do. We don't have to do everything after all, just small steps. But they also say it's important, as we plan and act, not to get caught up in the outcomes. They argue we cannot know when a cultural or political transition will occur, or how or why such a transition will occur. There is a saying that goes about important changes, that first they are considered a joke, then treated as a threat, and then accepted as normal. Consider the struggle for gay marriage. That was considered a joke. Then Massachusetts legalized gay marriage, and there was a frantic phase when states added constitutional amendments saying that marriage is between one man and one woman, obviously responding to the threat. Then that hope for that basic right seemed pretty bleak to those of us who cared. Then, 11 years later, it was legal for everyone. It was surprising. And then consider the fall of the Berlin Wall. That came out of almost nowhere. Small steps taken, a big wall down. Of course, it is possible, even likely perhaps, that the change you seek may not even happen in your lifetime. Consider all the people who worked hard to abolish slavery, get women the vote, or end Jim Crow laws, who never saw those changes in their lifetimes, yet they happened. Their work was not wasted. The efforts they made laid important groundwork for future changes. It mattered in the end. Macy and Johnstone argue that when many people set similar intentions and work on projects building the future, shifts happen in what becomes possible. What you and your friends do simply adds energy to possibilities that can then unfurl in unexpected ways. If that work doesn't happen, policies, possibilities for the future diminish. Macy and Johnstone also suggest framing our work to create a better world into an adventure story. Consider an adventure story. Our hero experiences a threat, a worry, something new that is beyond their ability to cope with. Frodo is confronted with the threat of the ring and rising evil. He is a small hobbit without much experience in any sort of adventure, but he says, "I will carry the ring." And he crosses the threshold from his normal life into adventure. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase, says Martin Luther King Jr. That is certainly what an adventure is. Crossing the threshold when you don't have any idea about what is going to happen. You have no idea what the new world will bring or what you will do. This is such a different mindset than the idea that we should know what is going on and have a plan with clear, positive outcomes that can be conducted with few mistakes. What an adventure story promises is learning something new. The hero learns skills, finds friends, and gathers wisdom in order to conduct the adventure. The hero also faces new threats they couldn't have imagined, but discovers new strengths in themselves they didn't know they had. They also make mistakes, many mistakes, as they blunder along with their intention of fixing the wrong, saving someone, or straightening out the problem. If we really want to build the world we are dreaming about, we need the adventure story. We must first set an intention about the future we want. Where does your change sing? What makes your heart soar? What change do you want to see in the world? Amanda Gorman asks in today's Time for All Ages. We see a vision. We have a dream. We cross the threshold. We step into the unknown, fraught with difficulties. But the dream persists. Even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream, said MLK Jr. We begin to learn about this new world beyond the threshold. What do you need to know to build this future we dream of? History? Previous failures and successes? What others are up to? Assets and liabilities? Then we need to seek companions for this journey. Who will go with us? Are they our friends? Other people at WOLF? People who are already working on our vision? We must expect mistakes. As Neil Gaiman says, if you are making mistakes, then you are making new things, trying new things, learning, living, pushing yourself, changing your world. Mistakes are virtually required in any good adventure story. Also expect monsters and blocked ways. Expect fear and disappointment. Expect some despair. But keep going. As MLK Jr. says, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. Adventure is not all trouble, though. Adventures can be glorious. There is joy in meeting new companions, seeing new places, uncovering hidden pathways, and discovering new skills and strengths. This is what makes us alive. This work of making a new world is not drudgery or responsibility, something we should do if we are good people. No, we do this because a dream beckons and adventure calls. We do it because it is the work of our heart. It gives us purpose and meaning. It lifts us out of apathy and anger and into the hope we so much need. We can't let nobody turn us around.
Freedom.
month, our theme is intention. We remember this morning during the offering that our intention is to be generous people. With our money, yes, but also with our time, with our love, with our spirit. So how generous can you be? Stretch your generosity and give freely in whatever way you can. This quarter's Donate the Basket recipient will be Habitat for Humanity and earmarked for a specific project to help a Dreamer and DACA student at PCC who is in housing crisis. Thank you for your gifts.
Our benediction is by Andrea Hawkins Camper. May we see all that is, and may it all be as we see it. May we be the ones to make it as it should be. For if us, if not us, who? If not now, when? This is the answering cry of justice with the work of peace. This is redeeming the pain of history with grace and wisdom. This is the work we are called to do. This is the call we answer now. To be the barrier and the bridge. To be the living embodiment of our principles. To be about the work of building the beloved community. To be the people of intention and a people of conscience. I extinguish this flame, but not the vision and compassion of our faith. May they stay with us until we meet again.